There's all kinds of places in the Bible that talks about our finances and our tithes and our offerings and our first fruits and our alms. And I've never really used this three or four verses that I'm going to use this morning. It really, God showed me something yesterday as I was studying. And it's in Mark 12. Y'all flip over to Mark 12. Still hear a few pages turning. I told Bible study, I think it was Bible study Tuesday night. We were at a minister's conference and one of the pastors made a joke. And he was telling everybody where to turn. And that you could hear pages turning. He said, there's two things a preacher likes to hear is checkbooks turning and pages turning in the Bible. So anyway, I thought that was funny. In Mark 12, we're going to start in verse 41. And here it says, Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury and how many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him as his disciples, and saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. There's three or four things that I want us to look at right here real quick. And first of all, I want us to notice that Jesus was sitting off watching this. Now, when you look at that and you study that out, you find out that Jesus is really interested. God's really interested in our tithes and offerings. He's interested in our giving. It's not superficial. It's not fake. Okay, where it says in the word, he cares about us giving. And it's not about the money. It's about what this widow woman is displaying here. You see, Jesus said that the people that were rich or the people that had a lot gave in abundance. But she gave so much more. The reason that he says that is she gave the last thing that she had. Let me say that again. She gave the last two that she had. Because she has that much faith that the word tells us to give, and it'll be given back to us, pressed down, shaken together. Or in Malachi, where it says, to prove me, which means to test. Okay? So if you test God, you know, we've heard Pastor Corey give his testimony about he had just made $1,000 and he had that last $100 that he needed to pay bills. But he said, I'm trusting, I'm having faith in you, Lord, that your word says that if I will give, prove me, and I'll open the windows of heaven and I'll pour out more blessing than you can hold. How many of you want more blessing than you can hold? Amen. So, of this story, this right here in the scripture, have that faith, y'all. Know that when you give in your tithes and when you give in your offering, we're supposed to expect, because we have that faith, that it's going to come back to us. Amen? So right now, with the big round of applause, y'all come up and let's do our givings in our buckets. Amen? Thank you. All right. Man, look at all the little ones. Woo. I love that. Look at all the little kids bringing envelopes and being taught what it's about to tithe and to give offerings. Amen. That's the way we raise up our kids. We raise up our kids in the way of the Lord. Y'all good? All right. Oh, we got one more. Thank you. Y'all, Stretch your hands out. Let's pray over this. Father God, we thank you for these tithes and offerings. Father, we thank you that your word says to test you and that you'll open the doors of heaven and you'll pour out and you will bless us more than we can even imagine, Father. We thank you for coming in of the offerings for the building, to finish that building. Father, that we are all in agreement with our pastor of his vision, Father, that we thank you that your word is yes and amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, you can clap. We should be excited. I know some of y'all are having trouble with the excitement part this morning, but that's okay. By the time it's over with, you either will or you won't. You have your choice. But I can tell you one thing, while I was in there getting ready, just praying and reading a little bit, man, I got this. You know how you get those butterflies? The Holy Spirit was going, you better hold on. You better hold on because it's going to be good this morning, y'all. Well, right now, before we get started, we need to dismiss our little ones, our kids, and our youth. So on the count of three, we're going to dismiss them. One, two, three. Big round of applause for our kids and youth. Yeah. You know, and the reason that we're working on the church out there is that the kids and the youth have been using these little outbuildings. And if you haven't really had the privilege of being in some of those, we need to get that finished out there. I promise. Man, when you go in some of those buildings, it's like, woo, it's a little scary. Thank you that we walk with Jesus when you go in those rooms. Amen. Well, how many of you brought your Bibles this morning? Because we like to find out, if you got your Bibles, hold them up, or your phone, or your iPad, or, yeah, amen? Because what I want you to know is this is our weapon, y'all. This is our weapon. This is not only our defense, but it's when we need to be on the offensive. Amen? So always make sure that you bring the Word with you, that you carry the Word. I've been this week praying and deciding, letting the Holy Spirit decide. I learned for me not to try to decide what I'm preaching on because that doesn't usually work. But I've been praying about what I was supposed to preach on this week. I was led to the scripture, John 10:10. Now, you can turn there if you want to, but you don't have to. This is the introduction, if you will. But in John 10:10, it says that the thief comes but to kill, steal, kill, and destroy. Right? Who's the thief? The devil. So one thing that we have to learn and not be afraid to say is there is a devil, y'all. He's real. Okay? So the devil comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. But if you don't stop reading and you read the rest of that scripture, it says that Jesus says, I came so that you might have life and life more abundantly. Woo, that's good right there. Now, if you look up the word abundantly, it means, I want to make sure I said it was right, beyond measure. Abundantly. You're going to have life. Who doesn't want, if you don't want life more abundantly, I feel bad for you. I mean, how many of us in here want life more abundantly? Amen. Everybody ought to be hollering for that. Woo! Jesus, I want life more abundantly. Now, this morning as I was praying, as usual, the Holy Spirit says, but wait a minute. Because he changed how I was going to look at it this morning. That's always fun. There is such a thing as an enemy. That's what the devil is. So we're going to look at it as the devil is the enemy. But, and I've preached on this before, it's okay to use but if we use it properly. Improperly means that you don't say something good and then say, but this, because you negate whatever was in front of that word, but. So the thief, our enemy, comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but. Whew, thank you for Jesus. Amen. Jesus came so that we would have life and life more abundantly. You see, that's why Jesus is our Savior. He's saving us from that junk. Okay? We know, and if you don't know, then I'm fixing to tell you. We're going to go through stuff, y'all. We're going to go through junk. There's not anybody here that can say, well, I've never experienced anything bad. And if you do, remember you're in church on Sunday. Okay? I'm not saying it, but you have to just realize, because the word says that when you go through trials and tribulations, the Bible says when. The Bible doesn't say, now you might have a little trouble, but it'll be, no. The Bible says when we go through trouble. And I think most of us can readily agree that we don't really want to go through junk, do we? No, but it's going to happen. Now, there are some, and y'all may know some, I know a few, there's some people that do like to go through stuff. And they like to tell you how bad it is when they go through it. Woo! You know, and those people will wear you slick. I never understood that wear you slick, but for those of you who don't have much hair, you get it, because it'll wear you slick. Anyway, that's another. But there's people like that really want to, as my vernacular, they want to waller in self-pity. You know, they want to waller in whatever's going on in their life. Oh, poor, pitiful me. Well, I guarantee you there's somebody else somewhere that's going through a lot worse than what you're going through. And when we learn that Jesus came for us to have life more abundantly, which means beyond measure. Do y'all realize, have you thought about that? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Have you ever thought about beyond measure? Think about it. I got one of those, we do dirt work and landscaping and stuff, my son-in-law and I do, and we've got one of those wheels, and you can roll a long way with that sucker, but not beyond measure. Anything that we do, we can measure. This says we'll have life beyond measure. Man. I hope y'all are getting this. I've got something to read to y'all that I came across while I was studying. If I can work my phone. My wife showed me how to do this. I found something. I didn't want to write it all out. I was like, oh, I don't. It was a quote, and she goes, well, here, look. And she showed me how to copy on something and post it, and then it'd go to my phone. Isn't that cool? That wasn't part of the sermon, but it was pretty cool. Technology's amazing, y'all. There's a guy that I read a quote from, and he was an author from back in the 60s. His name was Earl Nightingale. And the reason that I bring this to your attention, because I really want to put it in our minds as Christians that when we go through stuff, we got to quit looking at it in the wrong way. Earl Nightingale said that 40% of the things you worry about will never occur anyway. 30% of the things you worry about are the things in the past that can't be changed by all the worry in the world. 12% of the worries are needless worries about our health. 10% of them are petty, miscellaneous worries. Only 8% are real and legitimate worries. So 92% of your worries are pure fog with no substance at all. Yeah, let that soak in for a minute. What he's saying is we allow... Okay, what I'm saying is that by reading that, and if you put the word onto that, is that we're allowing the devil to mess up that much junk in our life, y'all. That little small stuff that we allow that becomes a scab that you pick and it gets bigger and bigger and it gets to be a sore. That's what we do with the worries and stuff that comes against us in life. In Psalms 46, it says that God is our refuge and our strength. It says that he is a very present help. I love that. A very present help in a time of trouble. And then the next verse starts by, we will not fear. Amen? Because God's our refuge. In Psalms 26, it says, God gives us strength. Now, in the Amplified, it says, unyielding and impenetrable. That's a hard word. That's a long word. That's the kind of strength it is. It's unyielding strength. He also gives us peace, something that we need a whole lot of when we're going through something. So I got to really just digging in about where that this needs to go. And where we're going to go is that God keeps his promises. Amen. What? Now, why don't we start learning how to stand on promises of God instead of standing on the junk that the world brings at us? I'm telling y'all that the Holy Spirit showed me that we spend more time worrying about things that may or may not happen than we do spending it on God. And when we start learning to spend it on the promises of God, do you realize that God can't lie to us? It says it in Hebrews. God cannot lie to us and he cannot deceive us. And the thing is, why would we want to worship a God that did? Amen? But our God loves us and he won't lie to us. In Psalms 89, it says that he will not break his covenant with us. In other words, whatever he promises, it's good. And it goes on to say, nor will I alter the things that come out of my lips. Now, I love that. Because when you stop and think about that just a minute, when I won't alter what comes out of my lips, y'all, it ain't changing. It's not changing. God is my refuge and my strength. That's today, that's tomorrow, that's the next day, that's the day after. Somebody ought to holler at that. Come on, y'all. Man. You should be fired up that we have a God that promises us, promises us, promises us, and he doesn't lie. And he said it's going to come to pass, but we have to do our part now. We have to do our part. We have to believe. Amen? So, this message, the title, if we titled this message, if I gave it a title, it's called Promises, Promises, Promises. Now, we've heard that, we hear that from people all the time, right? They say, oh man, I promise you I'm going to do this. I promise you I'll be there. I promise you. And then when they don't show up or they don't come through or they only come halfway through, it's that old promises, promises, promises. But from our God, when our God says, I promise you, he means it. He means it. So I want us to turn to, we're going to start in 2 Corinthians. Now I've got a little page turning for y'all today, so don't fight it. Just learn to love it. Because we're going to learn what the Word of God says. At the Cowboy Ministers Conference, Trey Johnson was preaching, and he was talking about, because he goes and travels, you know, he's been to our church and preached, awesome man of God. And he was talking about, he's been to churches where they told him, now Trey, don't go to so many scripture, that's too much for the people, don't. What? Are you kidding me? But he said he's had churches, because he goes to lots of scripture, and they go, now our people, no, don't go to Samaria. No, because today might be one of those days. So I'm telling y'all, you need to love it and enjoy it. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians, first chapter. And we're going to start in verse 20. And this is kind of setting the stage for promises. So verse 20 says, "For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us." So it's telling us that all the promises of God in Jesus Christ are yes and amen. So everybody say yes.
Yes.
Everybody say amen.
Amen.
God's promises are
yes.
And
amen,
if you look what that word means, because some of you may not know what amen means, other than it means amen, because that's what I've been taught to say is amen. Amen is kind of like putting your stamp of approval. Yes, I agree. So be it is what that word means. Amen. So when you think of that, when you say, when we say our prayers, you know, in Jesus Christ, amen. No. Because is that really putting your, you know, we get in habits, don't we? And that when we say amen at the end of our prayer, and I'm just as guilty as y'all. Remember, we preach to ourselves when we're up here preaching. It's when you say amen, mean it. Mean it. Don't just go, amen. Laurie and I have been replacing some meals with this Herbalife protein shakes. It's really got lots of vitamins and stuff in it. We've been doing it. Well, we always pray over our meals, but it's kind of like when you have a shake, that's not really a meal. Well, it is. It'll fill you up, but there's no really like sitting down to the table, you know, and then we pray. Because we pray, and in the mornings, man, we really pray about our day before we eat. One thing that we found is with those shakes in the morning time, I'd be about halfway through that shake going, uh-oh, forgot to pray, because that was just so. That's what I'm saying about amen, y'all. We've got to stop taking that word for granted and go, so be it. You see, when you're believing for something and you're praying about something, for something, a need or whatever, and then you just go in Jesus' name, amen. Do you think that that really put belief in what you said? Because when you say amen with confidence, then that's what you mean. And then you expect that to come to pass. Amen?
Amen.
All right. I love it. So I just pulled out a few promises that I want to look at this morning. And it's promises that stuff that, you know, if you when you stop and really think about it, which I did this week because I'd never really done it till now, the Bible is full of promises. It's not just, it's a way to do things. It's our life manual. It's our life guide. But it tells us the promises of God. If you learn to look at it that way. So I want to look at some of these scripture this morning, because when you go through stuff, you can have a few of these to go, you know what? I remember that day that Ricky was talking about forgiveness. That's our first one we're going to talk about this morning. That's a promise from God. Did y'all know that? Forgiveness is a promise from God. We're going to go to 1 John. Our God is so good. And when we learn to tap into that and start walking with Him, it'll change your life. We come to church. We come to church to get built up. Amen? And man, that's what I want y'all to get out of this today. That our God is so good, y'all, that He sent Jesus for us so that we would have life above measure. So I want you to get a hold of this. Man, when you leave here, because we don't want those Monday blues where we get fired up on Sunday and we step out on Monday and the real world goes, bam, and slaps you in the face and you're like, yeah. Boy, the coffee was bad at the convenience store, and yeah, the donut was stale, and man, You were fired up on Sunday. Or you go to work and somebody's hateful and you go, bless you anyway. God loves you even if you're ticked off at me or ticked off at somebody else. God loves you. We have to start learning to approach life with God's promises. Everybody find it? 1 John. First chapter, verse 9. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. If you're one of those that write in your Bible, like I am, underline faithful. He is faithful. God is faithful and he is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Man, y'all, that's good news. That's good news. That's a great promise. He is faithful. Our God promises he won't break his covenant with us. His promises are yes and amen. He promises us that he will forgive our sins if we confess them. He, as far as the east is to the west, he will remove our sins if we confess it. Don't you want that? Amen. I am so thankful to my God that he removes my sin. When Jesus died for us, we quit being sinners, but we still sin. There's a difference. And we still make mistakes. But now that we're saved, thank you, Jesus, I can go, man, I'm sorry I messed up. Why did I do that? And you know what he says? Done. Done. Golly, that ought to get in you. When you know that you know that you know, all you have to do is say, God, forgive me. And he said, done. I don't know. I don't remember it anymore. Our job is to quit remembering it. We got to shake it off. We've got to practice what the word says. And if God forgives us and forgets it, then we've got to forget it. We've got to let it go. It will eat you up. But God's promises are. Amen. You can holler if you want to. That's right. I love that. Speaking in tongues over there. But our God forgives us. And he lets it go. So, the first promise that I want you to see is forgiveness. So, if you're taking notes, that was number one. Forgiveness. Number two, the thing that God promises us is the Holy Spirit. Now, these are not in any particular order. So, don't think, well, one's more important than the other promise, because it's not. The greatest promise was Jesus. Jesus is the greatest promise. Man, that we have life. I can't get away from that this morning. Beyond measure. There's no tape measure in the world big enough to measure the life Jesus brought for us. Wow. Woo. I don't know. I'm having fun. We're going to be in John. Everybody go. We were in 1 John then, so everybody go to the left to John. We're going to be in chapter 16 for a few minutes. However, I tried to be led by the Holy Spirit, and he really helped me, because some of these, the scriptures that you're having to go to, it worked out where a couple of them are in the same chapter or in John or whatever, so you don't have to do too far a hunting. A hunting we will go. I don't know. Come on, y'all. Man, woo! You ought to holler this morning. I don't know what's wrong, but I'm fired up. Jeez. Man. I'll get to it in a minute, and y'all going to go, what did he say? It'll dawn on you. It might hit some of you when you're eating lunch. Hang in there. John chapter 16. We're going to be verse 13. Now, when we get saved, and if you're not saved, we're going to give you a chance to get saved in just a little while. But if you're, when you get saved, God gives us the Holy Spirit. That's a promise. That's a promise. Oh. And it says in verse 13, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Everybody say truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. Now, if we stop and look at that for a minute, the Holy Spirit is to, for us to have as a teacher. Man, when we don't know what to do, that's what the Holy Spirit does. It guides. He guides us. He loves on us. When we need help, he comforts us. In Galatians, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit and what comes with the Holy Spirit. Man, you get love, and God's love is so good. And that love, you can feel it. The love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering. There's 10 of them. If you haven't looked at them, it's in Galatians 5. You don't have to right now, but look at them sometime and see what you get. That's a promise from our God. Our God that gave us Jesus, that gave us forgiveness, gives us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that when we're hurting, he loves on us. When we're confused, he straightens our ways. All you have to do is ask. Amen? We're so blessed that we have a loving God that gives us that, that promises us that. And we have to learn. And our job is, okay, we got that, but what do we do? How do we tap into that? Start reading. Come to Bible study. We've been studying on the Holy Spirit for a while now. We're finishing up on Tuesday night. If you have missed, you should come Tuesday night. At least you'll catch the end of it, because it's going to be amazing. So you need to show up. So our God promises forgiveness. And there's not, here's the thing, y'all. Not just one place in the Word does it just talk about forgiveness. That's what's so cool. Our God promises forgiveness in all kinds of ways. And you have to lock into that. Our God promises the Holy Spirit to teach us, to guide us, to comfort us. Number three, God promises to take care of fear and peace. Now, this is a big one that people struggle with right here. Fear and peace. We're staying in John. Might go over a couple of pages to the left to chapter 14. That didn't take long, did it? See, that worked out good. So we're in chapter 14. We're going to be in verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Who? Well, here, Jesus is addressing the fear and peace thing. He said, I'm going to give you peace. You can have peace. You can have peace, and you don't have to be afraid anymore. You see, people get caught up in worrying or fear about how they're going to take care of things. What do I do? I need this. I need that. I can't afford this. But in Philippians, it says that he supplies all our needs. Everybody say all our needs. Yeah. So God supplies all our needs according to his glories, riches, and glory. His glorious riches. So do you think he's able to take care of us? Amen. He can take care of you and you and you and all of y'all over here and all of y'all over here. And we won't forget about y'all over here. He'll take care of y'all too. Because our God says that we will have life beyond measure. That's a promise. And we've talked about it. And I know you're sitting there going, he's repeating himself. Yes, I am. And there's a reason. I want you to get a hold of it. God does not break his covenant. He does not change what he has told us. Amen? Amen. You know, this is for somebody here today, and I don't know who it's for, and I'm not going to ask you, but I'm just going to say this right now. When you hear Howdy preach, and you hear Corey preach, and you hear me preach, there's things that we say that are the same. And this is for somebody because I want you to get a hold of what I'm fixing to say. Let it go. Because there's a reason that Corey says it and Howdy says it and Ricky says it. We want you to get a hold of it. It's the truth. It's the word of God that says you're more than a conqueror. You're the head and not the tail. And yes, we say that. Get over it. Don't you want to be the head and not the tail? Don't you want to be above and not beneath? Get over it. Yes. You know, when I first started preaching several, 2 or 3 years ago, Corey and I were driving somewhere. And that's when he and I really get to talk. And I listen a lot and he talks a lot. And that's the way it's supposed to be because he's my mentor and my spiritual father and I'm learning. And he said, you know, and I never understood this for a while, but he said that I've said the same thing a lot of times. And he wasn't any one particular thing. He said, you preach this, you preach this, you preach it over and over and over. For 15 years, you've used this one deal. And one of your people will come up and go, you know, oh, Kenneth Copeland said this. And he said, I've been saying it for 15 years and he gets it from one guy one time. Do you understand why Corey says it and why Howdy says it and why I say it? Because we are being led by the Holy Spirit that's what we need to preach. Amen? So, yes, we're going to say it and we're going to say it again probably. But I would rather be the head and not the tail. Amen? Amen. We have to remember that in Matthew, it says that Jesus is talking in Matthew, and he's talking about not worrying about tomorrow. He said, don't worry about it. Because in the first place, tomorrow never gets here. We know that old saying. Tomorrow never comes because tomorrow becomes today, and today yesterday, and all that. So we focus on what we're doing right now. Amen. We have to plan. We do plan for the future. Don't get me wrong. Because some of you go, oh, well, what about retirement? Oh, I'll tell y'all something that'll bust some of your bubbles. There was no retirement in the Bible. Woo! That's a new one, ain't it? Whoops, some of you go, I didn't hear that. No, everybody works in the Bible till they're too old to work, and then family takes care of them. Ray, it's a good book. My kids, I hope, are taking notes over there, but no. But God will take care of us. He will supply all of our needs. And in Matthew, it does say that. Check it out. He says that don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink or what you're going to wear. Just wear something, please. What? He didn't say. Did I say that? I did say that, didn't I? He didn't say that. I added that. Sorry. But he says, don't worry about that stuff. He's got it covered, y'all. You're trying to. God promises. Remember what we said? God doesn't break covenants. He doesn't change or alter what he says. So when the devil is attacking you, you go, oh, no. The word says that at the name of Jesus, every demon must flee. Yes. Woo! That's a promise. Man, some of us ought to memorize that one. Amen. Because when that demon comes, you say, no, my God promised. My God said that at the name of Jesus, you got to get out of here. You gone. You get under my feet. That's a promise. A promise. Man, do y'all, isn't God good? Golly, he promises us this, y'all. So tomorrow, when you get up on Monday morning and the boss comes in and you're worried about something, no. Remember, it says God promises that we will have peace and we are not to be afraid. Remember that. That's a promise. That peace word comes, and I've really latched on to this. And man, I encourage y'all to give in to that peace. That peace is right here. Now, you've heard us talk about joy, and that joy is not the same as happiness, because happiness is an emotion. Like, oh, I got a chocolate cupcake with sprinkles. That's happiness for some people. Okay, that's an emotion, right? But joy, for me, joy is that peace that when I'm going through stuff, that old me is so gone, and I'm so thankful. That old me of I used to have an upset stomach and feel like I wanted to throw up all the time because I don't have a clue what I'm going to do. Because I'm relying on Ricky instead of relying on my God, who promises that I will have the peace that passes all understanding right here, and I don't have to go through that junk anymore. Man, I can tell you that peace that's right there, if you've never had that, you should find it. Let the Holy Spirit take over and give it to you. Because then when things come against you, you'll never have that. Oh my gosh, I need to throw up. How am I going to come up with the transmission went out on the car and that's $3,000 in the kit? And it may not, I don't know how much it is. The kids need shoes. And no, you will have peace that passes all understanding. And what I learned about that all understanding thing is that it means that when I have that peace, I'm able to think and focus on God and go, okay, God, I got this problem. Now, I know that I can't fix it. God, I've tried before and it don't work. But I know you can, and your word says you will. And it may not be like I think it should be. It may not be as quick as I think it should be. Somebody else say amen to that, because we've been there, huh? But your word promises that you won't break that covenant, God, and that your promise is yes and amen. That's that peace, y'all. That's that peace that when, and you know what? Then when things come against you, it's not near like going like you used to, where you go, oh, what do I do? Oh, what? Like that duck in the shooting gallery. What do I do? What do I do? No. You don't. You go, okay, wait a minute. Now, everybody just chill out a minute. Let's think about this. Let's pray about this. Our first reaction in time of worry when the devil comes against us is, wait a minute. Not, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? It's, no, wait a minute. Stop right there. Now, God, your word says, and he tells us to remind him what his word says. Remember, that's more for us than it is for him, because he don't forget unless it's our sin. Okay, God, what do I do? I need your help. And when you have that peace, y'all, I'm telling you what, it'll move mountains. That faith, because that's what it is. It all works together. All things work together for good, God says. Wow, his good. When we're doing what we're supposed to do, it works together for good. Amen? Okay, so we've done forgiveness. We've talked about a promise of Holy Spirit. We've talked about a spirit of fear and peace. I should hurry up. Fourth is healing. So flip over to Psalms 103. Psalms 103, and we're going to be in 103. I really like this scripture because as God does and is so good in His Word, that it combines a couple of promises. It doesn't, you know, God's Word, when you look at it, just like the fear and the peace, He gives us peace and He tells us not to be afraid. Man, two promises in one. Bam, y'all. He does the same thing right here. Let's start in verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Oh, wow, y'all. Don't you like benefits? Yeah, when you get a job, you always ask, well, how are the benefits? With God, don't forget about His benefits. He tells us, don't forget about my benefits, y'all. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. There's one. That's a promise. Here's the other one. Who healeth all thy diseases. He doesn't say, I'm going to pick and choose which ones of the diseases I'm going to heal. What did he say? He said all? Wasn't that all? Everybody say all. Y'all know what all means? All. That means all of them, y'all. He's going to heal all our diseases. He forgives all of our sin. It's true. It's a promise, y'all. 1 Peter says we're healed by those stripes that Jesus took on His back for us. That was all the diseases. All means all. All the promises of God are ours, y'all. Man, that should give you peace. I'm not going to have you turn there, but in Proverbs it says that we should trust in the Lord with all our heart, and we should lean on not our own understanding, but we acknowledge Him in everything, and He will direct our steps. You see, when we need wisdom and guidance, just like He gives us the Holy Spirit, and we trust in the Lord with all our heart, and we don't trust in Ricky with all your heart or my heart. We trust in God. We trust in the Lord. Man, He will guide us. He is so awesome. And when we get how awesome those promises are, and we start taking those steps with Him on His promises, and we stand on His promises, the last one, and I'm going to start closing. Eternal life. It don't get any better than that, y'all. Eternal life. Flip over to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2, verse 25. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You see, things with man are impossible. But with God, everything's possible. You see, He gave us eternal life. And it says right here in verse 25, and this is the promise that He hath promised us, even eternal life. He gave Jesus, His only Son, for us. Jesus took all the junk. He took all the worry, all the sickness. See, when we start thinking about those things, if He took all the worry, then why do we worry? Yeah, Because of the stinking devil. Because we give the stinking devil a place. Instead of going, no, 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 my God promised. My God says it's yes and amen. God gave us Jesus. And if you've never accepted Jesus right now, we never do a service, no matter here or on the road, that we don't give you an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. The devil is real, y'all. The devil is real. But man, if you don't know that you don't have Jesus as your Savior, that He'll do those things I've been talking about all morning, we want you to have Jesus Christ. So right now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, gosh, Lord, we thank You. Thank You, Father. Father, we thank You for the word this morning, that it's yes and amen. That Your promises are true, and we know that's the truth. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, we want you to today. I want you to, please. The Word says that there is a heaven and a hell. And when you leave this earth, do you know where you're going? Are you going to heaven or to hell? Because hell is a bad place, and we don't want you to go there. I want you to go to heaven. It's going to be so glorious. So glorious. No more sickness, no more disease, no more junk, no more worry, no more crud. Man, y'all, whoo, heaven is going to be so glorious. But by accepting Jesus Christ, you can have heaven on earth. You can live like we're going to live in heaven. So if you've never accepted Jesus Christ, I want you to today. We're going to say a prayer, and I'm going to have you repeat that prayer out loud. And I want you to say it and mean it. But I'm not going to have you say it by yourself. We'd never embarrass you, but we want you to say it out loud. We're going to have our believers say it with you so that we understand this prayer of getting those promises that we know, that we know, that we know that we have Jesus Christ, that died for us, that when we go through something, we don't go through it alone, that we can give it to Him. Oh, thank You, Father. So right now, out of your mouth, I want you to say this prayer, and I want you to mean it. Father in heaven, open the door of my heart. I ask You to come in and save me. I believe that Jesus died and that He rose from the dead. I ask You to forgive me of all my sins. Father, I thank You for the peace that passes all understanding. Father, I thank You that You're my friend, that You love me, and I love You, Father. Today is my God day, in Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed still, if you just ask Jesus to be your Savior, we're not going to have you come up, but right where you sit on the count of three, I'd like for you to raise your hand. We got a Bible we'd like to get to you. The Word says, never be afraid to acknowledge me before man, and I'll acknowledge you before the Father. So right now on the count of three, if you just accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, on the count of three, get your hand up and then I'll acknowledge you. They'll get you a Bible and you put it right back down. One, two, three. Anybody, raise your hand if you just accepted Jesus. Real quick, we'll get you a Bible and then we'll. All right, everybody look here. Did y'all have a good time this morning? Awesome. I think you got everybody saved up last week, man. That's awesome. Man, I heard it was huge last week here. Isn't that awesome? Woo! You know, I was telling Howdy when he came back to pray with me that it's amazing because Some of the things that y'all don't really get to see or we talk about or remember to talk about is last week we were with Corey and Jamie and Andrews, and we had Cowboy Church there at the Rope, PRCA Roping, but the people that put it on, the Fishers, the church that they go to is the biggest church in Andrews. It's the First Baptist Church. And they went to them because this is the first week, last week was the first week of spring break for them. And so they went to them and talked to them about not having church and letting them all come out to there if they wanted. Well, they got it worked out. They had Bible study that morning, and then they didn't have church at church. They came out. We had between 250 and 300 people last week at church. Now, a couple of things that I was telling Howdy about is we were doing How Great Thou Art, and part of those Baptists was standing up like this. Now, and my wife's Baptist, so I'm not making fun of Baptists. My wife was a Baptist, my mom and dad. So, but that was so awesome because they let go, y'all. They let go. And I told Howdy, I said, it's so awesome, 11 salvations or something here last week. And Joni texted me that, and I'm like, whoa. And Corey had just got through doing the salvation plan there. Folks, there was so many people's hands went up, we couldn't count them. Thank you, Jesus.
The reason you're seeing, come on. You're going to see a lot more of that in these end times because God's getting rid of religion. He's dissolving it. He's making sure that people understand that it's more than just going to church. You know, no matter what your religion is, it don't matter. You know, where you went growing up doesn't matter. All he cares about is right now. Just like he was saying, what are you going to call tomorrow when you get there? Today. It's not tomorrow anymore. It's going to be today, and then the next day will be called tomorrow. So you're going to see a lot of that, and it's just God pouring out his Holy Spirit on us. And, you know, if you hear us preach something over and over and over, you know, like he was saying, me and Ricky and Corey, y'all hear us preach a lot of the same stuff. Heard a pastor say one time, he said, when people finally get tired of hearing the stuff repeated, it's because they're finally getting it. They get it. They're understanding now. I do it all the time. I repeat myself to my wife all the time. I talk to my wife's back a lot. I don't know about y'all, but she's usually walking away. You've already said that, honey. I just want to make sure you get it. Make sure you understand. Please hear me. We got a few quick announcements. Ashley, are you in here? Okay, go ahead and come on up. We had a trailer for you guys. We're going to probably do it next week, but we have I'm going to let her talk for just a second real quick about the unplanned movie that's coming out, and she's going to explain to you, and we need to make sure, you know, if you've got a ticket or if you're planning on going, please make sure you get her paid, you know, as quickly as possible. But she wants to talk to you for just a second.
Okay. I just want to say, first off, I am so sorry for talking y'all's ear off about this event, but I'm super excited about it, and let's just say I would not be hired to be an event planner at a company, but God has hired me to put on this event, so here I am. So we had a few generous church members here buy a couple extra tickets. So if you have been interested in going but just haven't been or haven't made the jump, we can give you a free ticket as long as you can kind of make a commitment to help us fill another seat with a friend or something. These seats will come with a small drink and a popcorn, so you can't really beat that for $10 in a movie. Small drink and popcorn, awesome. So I'm so passionate about this because abortion is the social and humanitarian injustice of my generation. So it's time for us to stand up as a church and fight this fight. And this movie is going to change our culture, guys. Like, we have to be prepared for what's going to come. Like, you know, women who have already had abortions that need healing, and we have to be ready for that. And we have to be ready for, you know, unwedded mothers. And, you know, we just have to be ready to love on them and support them. So this movie, this event, is not just about going and seeing it. It's about me sharing information with you guys so that we can be ready. So please come and see me to pay for your tickets if you've already reserved one. And if you haven't, we have a few left, so come get your seats.
All right. So if you'd like to get a ticket, or if you haven't, or if you've already reserved, please go see her. Get them paid for as soon as possible. Can you come here, Kenny? Can you consolidate these?